This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. If you missed out on the Cowboys-Bengals ticket giveaway, we got another one of them coming at you in the noon o'clock hour. Plus, if you want to bid for our table at Swinging for a Cause this weekend, 877-881-1053. The minimum bid starts at $1,500. It's a table for you and five other friends along with us. You also get to two tickets to a Rangers game next year and an in-studio visit with us. So if you are interested, minimum bid starts at $1,500, 877-881-1053.
And if you want to get an individual ticket and show up to the event, you can go to 1053thefan.com/sandlot and check that out as well, because, man, that is an awesome event.
It was
a blast to be at last year. Hope to see you there.
Now, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good to hear from you.
Now, I've been out for a couple of days, but the Cowboys haven't played for a while. Have you guys mostly just talked about how excited you are about the Simpsons broadcast on Monday night, or how did that all go?
Yeah, I think we did a deep dive into that, by the way.
I feel so sarcastic.
You can just pass on that.
Man.
Yeah, we asked Steven about it, too, and he was like, I don't know much about it. So
did he really?
Well, he was like, oh, we would not.
I mean, he knew it was happening,
yes.
But I don't know if he knew any in-depth details of the show.
Yeah, he wasn't privy to any of the cartoon stuff beforehand. They're just like, here's the presentation.
All right. Mickey, you can back Corey up and make sure he's telling the truth. Is it because Corey asked the question aggressively? Did he say, do you think your game didn't get flexed out on Monday night because of all the Simpsons work that's already gone into this?
I don't think he put it that way.
Okay, that's good. That's very good. Yeah. All right.
We've taught him well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't push too
hard. I haven't taught him anything. So that's all you. I just show up to work occasionally.
Yeah. What is the biggest storyline for you as we prepare for the Bengals? Because Joe Burrow and his receivers, they're on fire. It's just that the defense has nothing to offer.
Yeah, and I think that's the cautionary tale about looking at the Bengals and going, they're the Bengals. They're 4-8. You know, if you do a deeper dive into them, seven of their eight losses are by one score, and three of the losses are by a grand total of 5 points. So they've been really close, right? And it's not like they're just pathetic. Sitting there at 4-8, they score points. The problem is they give up too many points, and that's why they're sitting there at 4-8. They just keep scoring. You know, they've had six losses when scoring at least 25 points. Six.
Which is crazy. And obviously, I'm going to blame this mostly on the defense. But when you talked about all the close losses, do we also need to include the fact that in games decided by 6 points or less, they're 0-6?
So yeah, they don't win them.
Yeah, they don't win these games either.
So maybe the key thing is to stay close and
you're able to
beat them. I just say that, you know, it's so close that, you just can't overlook what Joe Burrow's doing, right? And I've heard multiple people say this this week already, that if their record was 8-4 or 9-3, you know, Burrow would be considered for, you know, league MVP.
Sure.
The way he's playing. And Jamar Chase already with 13 touchdown catches. He's tied with CeeDee Lamb for second in receptions in the NFL right now. So this is a team that the Cowboys can't sit there and just kind of go, and I know fans are doing that. They're looking at the records and going, they got the 4-8 Cincinnati and then they got the Panthers and then it's the 6-6 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You don't want to get ahead of yourself because you're still 5-7.
And also, you're a 5.5-point underdog at home.
At home.
So, like, if you want to look at the record, that's fine. Vegas is like, no, we think Cincinnati is a significantly better
team.
And
I'm sure they're looking at it as Cincinnati got Joe Burrow. The Cowboys, they're playing with a backup quarterback.
True.
And the list of injuries, continues to grow. I tried starting to put this together, and I got the list over here on my right side, it says back. So you got Parsons back, Bland back, Brandon Cooks, and Adoga. You want to go over the list that's still out?
Is it going to depress me? Well, I feel like we need to hear it either way.
Sam Williams, Dak Prescott, DeMarcus Lawrence, John Stevens, Awesome Richards, Amani Oruwariye, who could return this week. He's eligible to come off IR. Kalen Carson, Josh Butler, Zach Martin, Trayvon Diggs, Marquise Bell, and Wanye Thomas.
So that's like a lot more. Yeah.
And yeah. I've got, and I started counting the guys that are still on IR. 9.
Was that you just counting them right now?
I hadn't counted them up. I just put IR and I just looked at the list and I'm going, ooh, that's a long list. You know, and the only guys, you know, you're looking at maybe getting back, Zach Martin.
Yep.
Wanye Thomas at some point. You might get Awesome Richards back at some point. Jake Ferguson. Maybe Marshawn Nealon, maybe, and I don't know if those will be this week or next week, but that's a long list of guys, and I'm sure, you know, when Vegas figures out that point spread, they're looking at that and going, well, geez, they got a quarter of the team missing because of injuries.
So I need to scratch out all this work I've done about the road to the playoffs in a wild card run.
Well, you know what? I've done that also.
Oh, and
I figured there's 7 teams, including the Cowboys, that have to fit into 3 spots. The third, I'm giving up on the first 2 wild card spots, right?
That's fair.
And and somebody's got to win the division titles. So there's 7 teams that have got to fit into 3 spots. The third wild card spot, which Washington has the lead at 8-5, and then everybody else is trying to catch them or trying to win the NFC South and the NFC West. And there's, you know, bunched up, like Seattle in the West has a 1-game lead over Arizona, but it's 6-6. Seattle, Arizona, and the Rams are all bunched up there. And by the way, you know, everybody's sitting here looking at the Cowboys going, well, you know, they got a chance. Well, San Francisco's got the same record, and they beat the Cowboys.
Oh.
So, yeah. But again, if you look at the, you know, who's got to play who down the stretch here, you know, of those 7 teams, a bunch of them got to play each other. So I figured, in the head-to-head of all those teams, there's 14 losses still to be had.
Do you think that the Cowboys will do the best job possible at getting a worse draft pick while still missing the playoffs?
What do you mean? By happenstance or trying to?
Oh, I assume happenstance, not trying to.
Yeah, I mean, there's games to be won. And they've got to, you know, they got to play Tampa Bay. They got to play Washington. So somebody's going to get a loss somewhere along the line in there. You know, some of the other teams, like Arizona still got to play Seattle, the Rams, and Niners. So there's three losses there somebody's going to get. And the Rams have to play the Niners, the Cardinals, and the Seahawks. So there's three more losses somewhere. Someone's going to lose a game, right? So there's a lot of games to be lost between these seven teams to fill those three spots. So it's pretty hard to figure out, you know. Now, I'm sure, you know, Washington's sitting there. They got a bye this weekend at 8-5, and, you know, they got the best record of all seven teams right now, and now you got to try to catch Washington. So from the Cowboys' standpoint, you know, that's obviously, if they're going to do anything, they got to beat Washington. They got to beat Tampa Bay. But more importantly, as Jerry said yesterday, starts and stops right now with Cincinnati. You got to win.
Got to get this one.
And you're underdogs and you're at home. And it's Monday night football. So I don't think the Cowboys have the luxury of doing what I just did and kind of analyzed it. They just got to analyze one thing, how to figure out how to beat the Bengals.
Yeah, they got to drop some plays and get some defense ready to go.
Yeah. And you better score some points. Because
that makes sense, too.
They're going to score. I mean, they're averaging 28 points a game.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game averaging, the Cowboys are averaging 20, so maybe that's where the 5.5 point underdog came in. It's an 8 point difference on the offenses. Now their defense has not been good, so can the Cowboys offense kick it in gear against that defense that other teams have? And you know, you might need to score 30 points to try to win, and the Cowboys have only done that twice so far this year.
Well, we appreciate the insight very much. If tomorrow you want to come to the program with a list of your favorite Simpsons episodes to help us get ready, I would be in for that as well.
That'll take deeper dive research than I did with the standings.
I give you some great ones to start with. Yeah, don't worry about it. We'll get it done.
All right.
Thank you very much. There you go, Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com.
The one where Homer gets to own the Broncos is pretty dope, too, though.
Like, yes.
Where he moves?
Yeah. Yes, that is.
That's a fun episode.
I know I'm going to get made fun of this. I'm pretty sure that's the second episode of the eighth season. You only move twice. It's a great episode. Don't look at me like that, Alec.
It is an awesome episode. He's right. I just don't know which one it is.
I spend my time poorly.
Hey, what episode is the one where Sideshow Bob's after killing Bart?
I mean, there's a few like that.
The one that's kind of based on Cape Fear.
Yes. That's in season 5. I don't want to double check this. It's episode 3 or 4 of that season, or maybe 2.
That's an
excellent episode as well.
I love it.
You guys are mean. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Remember, we got PJ Washington coming up at 11:41. So coming up next, let's do some Gridiron Gravy and power rank the quarterback power rankings, or maybe power rank Simpsons episodes next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. By the way, Mike, this might be an off-air conversation, but if you want to dive back into the NBA Cup schedule, I did find the original Mavericks schedule versus what it is now, and I can lay out.
We could just ask PJ Washington. I'm sure he knows all the ins and outs of it.
Man, but what if he's like, I don't know. I don't really care that much.
I don't think he's going to say that. I heard last night afterwards he was talking about how they're all together in this thing and how excited basketball is.
Okay.
So I'm really looking I'm really looking forward to talking
to him. All right.
Here.
We will talk with PJ Washington in about 20 minutes. But right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy. Gridiron Gravy, of course, brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit RhinoShieldTX.com. All right. You guys want to start power ranking the quarterback power rankings, or do you want to know about Josh Allen winning another award?
Player of the week?
Other than Haley Steinfeld?
Did he win the best player in snow?
Okay. Let me ask you this, Mike.
He is the best player.
This is
player
a serious football question.
Ooh.
How would you rank the following three awards? AFC Offensive Player of the Week, Snow Player of the Week, and engaged to Haley Steinfeld.
You showed me who Haley Steinfeld is yesterday,
the
right?
From Pitch Perfect movies with Flula.
Oh, yeah. I would rank AFC Player of the Week number one.
Okay.
I would rank... There's only one game in the snow. Was there another game in the snow I forgot about?
Cleveland played in the snow a couple weeks ago.
That was that. Then they would have won the snow game. You only have two teams to choose from, and then one player off of that one game.
He's got a point.
True.
Were there multiple people that asked Seinfeld to get married to Steinfeld?
I am not aware of that information.
Right?
True.
I feel like that one was in the bag when she stopped dating other people for a long time.
Okay.
It has been a while. Yeah.
So you're not as impressed, Corey.
Uh-huh.
I feel like you would. Rate the Steinfeld.
Snow player of the week, number one. Steinfeld, number two. Mm-hmm. Then the NFC player, AFC player of the week.
AFC's a tougher one to win.
Yeah, but
there's
people win it every week.
In the AFC.
People win that every week, though.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I looked up Billy Bob Thornton. He was getting married every other year.
Yeah. That is true.
Jeez.
Did you look up Billy Bob Thornton? He's Landman.
My wife said he has a really good Texas accent, okay. And he just speaks his... Normal
yeah.
speaking, you know, he's not trying to do, like a fake accent. And then
right.
he grew up in Arkansas. So I guess that's close enough to Texas to sound Texan.
Hey, the point of this was that Josh Allen won his 14th career AFC Offensive Player of the Week award. Or almost as many times as Billy Bob Thornton's been married, according to Mike.
Congratulations to him, man.
Hey, is...
Do you think they'll get divorced?
I don't...
They're two famous people. Famous people
not.
Get divorced.
I mean, regular people
get
divorced.
Look at Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton. That didn't last long.
You know, sports, that's two Hollywood people, right? And in Hollywood, they go work across the world, right, all the time.
Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio.
If she can just schedule her stuff in the off season, then he's going to be fine. In the off season, he can just go travel with her.
Oh, man. Billy Bob Thornton has been married a lot of times.
I told you. I wasn't making it up. I looked at it 2 days ago. Right?
Yeah. He likes to get married.
Yeah, and they don't last long.
Mm-mm. And then, I mean, he doesn't even get the benefit of tax purposes.
He's been married for 10 years now to his sixth wife. Who would have guessed?
That's impressive.
Like, it was a good run.
Oh, what? Are you suggesting it's about to be over?
Probably.
You think he's too tired to get divorced?
Oh, man.
Oh, good point.
That's so much paperwork.
I don't know. Like, Billy Bob Thornton has looked like he was 65 since he was 32, right?
That's true.
Doesn't he always just look like an older man?
He looks pretty much the same age as he was in Tombstone.
Yeah.
That he does in Landman. Yeah. He's good in Landman.
All right.
Same age as he was in Mr. Woodcock.
What a terrible movie
that is. It was a terrible movie.
All right.
And he did Bad News Bears.
That's true.
He was drunk.
Power ranking, the QB power rankings. Do you think Josh Allen, in addition to snow player, AFC player, Steinfeld, takes number one in this?
Yeah.
Okay. He does. You're right.
Yeah, that was easy. It's the other ones that are going to be hard.
Yeah. Yeah, he's right about that.
Oh, man, this is hurtful. I wish Kevin put as much effort into his wrestling knowledge as he does his Simpsons knowledge. Feel like
which one do you think you're better at?
Which knowledge? Wrestling?
Wrestling.
Which one do you think you're better at, wrestling or Simpsons?
Wrestling.
I watched Ravishing Rick Rude kill somebody on YouTube.
Okay.
He didn't literally kill him, but he almost did. And then he backed off. He's like, I think I'm going to kill this guy because I don't like him. And then he decided to back off last second.
Don't kill people.
Then he got thrown off the top ropes and fell off the stage and he had to retire because Sting messed him up.
That was in Japan. Follow up to that, I guess. Who would you put second on the quarterback? Assuming it's not Ravishing Rick Rude.
Oh,
Goff?
Huh?
Goff? Goff?
I have Goff that high, yes. I have Goff that high right now.
Would you be infuriated?
Is it Joe Burrow? Wasn't he two last week? And then he lost again.
Jared Goff was number six.
Well, it sounds like
power
he is.
Rankings.
I understand. So
that is correct.
Oh, this is power rankings. I thought I was going MVP list. Yeah, that seems weird to have him down that low, but I feel like Joe Burrow is going to be up in the top three.
Joe Burrow is number three.
Okay.
You should be able to get number two, I believe.
Jalen Hurts?
Corey, he did it. Right. Lamar Jackson. So it goes Josh Allen one, Lamar two, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, it wasn't that off. I picked number four.
That's true. Jared Goff is six.
You got it wrong. But
and who's number five?
Justin Herbert.
Yeah, Herbie.
That is correct.
All right. Nice. Look at us.
Herbie the
number seven
bug.
Is Mahomes.
Nope.
And you know what is weird to me about Justin Herbert and the Chargers? It's still weird that they're not as consistent as they should be offensively.
Yeah, I agree.
They're
with
winning
that.
Enough games, and they're going to win enough games to be in the right position to get into the playoffs and everything. But his offense is still like hit or miss on a weekly basis.
CBS's rankings, not my rankings, go Jordan Love 7, Jaden 8, Patrick Mahomes 9, and Brock Purdy 10.
Brock Purdy?
Brock Purdy.
Who's doing this? Our boss?
That seems miserable.
Like your son is not in the top 10 anymore.
Brian, okay, just for the record again, I do not believe there's any legitimacy to Brock Purdy being the son of our boss's
I
boss.
Will say.
Has Mr. Purdy taken a paternity test on this one?
Well, and
oh
I will
my
say,
gosh.
When he came in last year, we brought it up to him and he did not deny it and said that his wife had to make an extra stocking for that year. And it was B. Purdy. So I'm just saying.
They have the same last name. You can't deny that.
Yeah, and the same first couple of initials in their first name.
What?
Yep.
BR.
Yeah.
Brock and Brian.
So if there's a Colby Majors, you just assume you guys
it's spelled with the way my
there's
last name is spelled?
There's a possibility he's the dad.
Okay, that's...
You've seen how weird my last name is spelled.
That actually is
there's
a
Bassick out there. Everybody's like, hold on, is this Bassick? What's going on here?
And the worst quarterback in the league, Drew Lock.
God,
followed by Cooper Rush and Mac Jones.
I asked this question and G-Bag thought I was insane for asking this question after watching Drew Lock be horrible at football for the 17th time I've watched him play. If I gave him the five best offensive linemen in the game, I gave him LaPorta as his tight end.
Okay.
I gave him Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, and Ja'Marr Chase. Would he be good at football? I'm going to give him a bad running back, though. I'm going to give him Zeke. So when he hands the ball off, the guy's just going to fall down for 2 yards or four at most.
I think he would be at least average.
They were like he would be MVP. Right? Weren't they like he'd be awesome with that team?
I still think he makes poor decisions, but I think he would have so much time to scan the field and his guys are going to get open. I think that's the reason that I would think he would be good. I don't think MVP. Okay. But I think he would be good because all that – people are better when they have all that around them.
Is this the point when, just transition to a news story, is this the point when you just quit playing football? Because Austin Eckler has had two concussions this season, and he says because of that, he's experienced memory loss. I get it. You want to be out there. Those are your brothers. You want to get paid. I understand all of that. I really do. But when you're like, hey, this year, and he's what, like 28?
Mm-hmm.
When you're experiencing memory loss, is that when you're like, all right, we're done?
Yeah, but do you remember the next day?
I mean, look at Tua. I'm back in. Look at Tua right now. Like, wouldn't you think if...
He's 29.
Do you think Tua has ever watched what happened on the field? Because if I watched that, I'd be like...
I would say 80% of professional athletes love what they're doing.
Know the consequences.
20% don't. 20% are just really good at it and really would like to be doing something else, but what else are you going to do for a league minimum of $700,000 and a maximum of like $60 million?
Sure.
Somewhere in that range.
Even Troy, when he retired, hated it. Like, he didn't want to do it. He almost wanted to come back. You know, like,
I loved it so much, right? And I think that most of these guys, not all, but most of these guys, they just, like, that doesn't end it. They're like, I want to keep doing it.
Okay.
And then the minute you call your teammates or, you know, see your teammates again, you're probably like, I can't wait to be back in that room again.
So I just think it's really tough to say, I shouldn't do this anymore.
But he should retire or take the rest of the year and just be like, man, I gotta clear my head here.
If,
like, Dak rushing back and everything, I'm like, well, that's being ready for OTAs.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, that feels like something I'd want to take 3 years for.
Do you think he's looking at it as like he turns 30 in, I don't know, like April or May? And he's like, well, I can't really take any time off because I had trouble enough getting a contract.
Maybe so.
If I leave football for, like, I know you said for this year.
Any
like,
period of time.
Yeah, then are people just going to be like, well,
especially in that sport, you get lost.
And at that position.
There's a young player ready and cheaper ready to take your job immediately.
Yep.
Especially at a position, like you just said, where they're already trying to phase out the paying that person.
Yeah, the average lifespan is less than 3 years as an NFL player. So,
how impressed are you guys by the NFC North? So the NFC North, since they realigned the divisions into its current structure, is the first team to have a first division to have three teams with 9 wins or more by week 14. I know the NFC is obviously inferior to the AFC this year, but I mean, with the Lions at 11-1, the Vikings at 10-2, the Packers at 9-3, are you impressed by this division, or are you impressed by the Lions and think they can go to the Super Bowl and we'll see about those other teams?
No, I'm impressed by the whole division. I mean, let's face it. If you had a competent coach in Chicago, they would probably be 500.
I think you're right.
You'd have a loss or two on the other team's schedule that we've just mentioned their records, and that's where they get the wins to get to 500. But
your worst team would be tied for first in the South.
Yeah. I think that it's very impressive that they are pretty much guaranteed before we got to December. I know we're there now. Before we got to December, they have three teams that are pretty much locked into the playoffs.
That is impressive. What the Vikings have done with all these close games they look like they should have lost. They've been able to, you know, come back at the end and win. They don't feel like a real team. They feel like, you know, they're destined to lose easily in the playoffs. But the Packers are a confusing team because you know they can do it, especially with Jordan Love when he's healthy and his receiving crew is healthy. But they're, you know, he could throw three interceptions in a game. And somebody texted in yesterday and they were like, look, man, I've been a Rams fan my whole life. Jared Goff will show up on a random day and just have a game where you're just like, what happened? And that is true. He does have on random days you're like, the hell was that? You're dumbfounded. But the fact that they've been able to run through their schedules the way they have, they're taking advantage of what we consider a weak conference too, though.
I want you to think about this. The division leader in the AFC South is 8-5. The division leader in the NFC West is 7-5. The division leader in the NFC South, they're both 6-6. The top three teams in the NFC North are 30-6.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, they've had a good run.
Their third place team would be in first place in two other NFC divisions.
What division? What AFC division are they playing this year? Because I haven't checked that out. Is that the stinkiest one? Or are they playing all the all AFC South teams?
That is an interesting question, and they still have games to go against one another, which will somewhat level this out. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next.
AFC South.
That makes sense. Yeah. Dallas Maverick and the man who has helped fix the Mavs rebounding. It is PJ Washington next on The Fan.
Luka faked the three, made the pass. PJ's open. PJ hits it. Timeout Memphis.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. That sweet three-pointer courtesy of the man we bring on right now. It is indeed PJ Washington. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
How much different is your morning after you win versus lose? I know you've probably evolved beyond such petty nonsense, but is the morning better after you've won?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's always a great morning after a win, especially a win like last night.
Yeah, I feel like I wouldn't be able to go sleep for a while after last night's kind of game because of the intensity at the end of that. How do you kind of like decompress after that?
Oh, no. As soon as I got home, I was dead tired. All my energy was gone. I went right to sleep with my kids. So all that excitement, I had let it out during the game. And after the game, I was just ready to get back home and get some rest.
PJ, they're actually just showing the replay here on television of you knocking down the three for the Mavs to go up by six with 26 seconds to go.
Good timing.
When you were screaming after making that shot, and I know a lot of NBA players do this, are you specifically looking at a person in the stands, or are you just screaming at all of the stands?
Everybody. Everybody. Just got to let everybody know, you know?
I literally was thinking the same thing last night. I was like, did he say somebody's name just now? And he was looking at them specifically. I really did think that last night.
Now,
no, that was for the whole crowd.
With the win, you got, this is something I will admit, a week or so ago, Jason Kidd talked about the excitement regarding the NBA Cup, and I have maybe scoffed at that a bit here or there. Do you get the sense that people are excited about this as opposed to, like, you want to win the game? I understand that. But do you get the sense that people are pumped about, hey, y'all are moving on in the NBA Cup and all that?
I mean, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, at the end of the day, you would love to, I mean, have these caliber games early in the season. Everybody's playing extremely hard. Everybody's obviously trying to get to Vegas. And for us, you know, we want to get, obviously, the guys who don't make as much as the higher, the better players, we want to get them paid as well. So that's what it's all about, and it's next man up mentality for us as well.
When I heard the navigation, I got nervous I was interrupting you for a second. So I'm glad I was not.
Yeah, no, you are.
Yeah, hey, you know, PJ, I think it was last year I asked you, I was like, are you my favorite Mavericks player? And and you keep answering that question for me, so I really appreciate that. But whenever it gets late in these games, it seems like you're the go-to Swiss Army knife defensive player, and you're finding your place in that. How does it feel knowing you're going to be the guy that's got to go in there and lock this down, but also knowing that the team can play that defense with you?
It feels great. I mean, I have all the confidence in the world in all my guys, and they instill that in me as well. So when you have a great defensive line like D-Live and Gafford behind you, it makes my job a lot easier. So they protect everything at the rim, and it just makes it a lot easier for me to keep a guy in front and not allow him to get easy shots. So credit mostly to those two guys because they're the reason our defense is so good.
PJ, on November 14th, you guys lose at Utah. It's a four-game losing streak, and you guys are now 9-1 in your last 10 games. There was an article about kind of you guys coming together after that game and talking about the way you guys had started the season at 5-7, maybe not playing your best basketball. Can you kind of talk about what has happened after that Utah game? Because you guys look like the Western Conference Finals team again.
We just obviously had to go through the filling out process. A lot of new guys, a lot of guys didn't really understand our system. So we're just trying to figure things out, figure everybody's games out. And obviously, we kind of got clicking in the past 10 games, and we're just kind of trying to keep it rolling. I'm really excited with this group. We have a lot of competitors, a lot of guys who want to win and want to obviously get to where we were last year. So at the end of the day, it just takes day by day and step by step, and everybody's taking those steps daily.
I've always been curious about a logistical thing with the media. Like, obviously, the media doesn't get to, nor should we, get to know everything that got talked about in that meeting. Do you all have a meeting at the end of that meeting and says, here's what our unified message about the meeting is going to be to the media? Because, like, that word gets out one way or another. How do you guys decide, like, what will get out to the media and what won't in a situation like that?
Honestly, I mean, I have no idea. I think everybody just, like, whenever people ask us questions, we just kind of try to answer it truthfully as possible. But, I mean, for me, when that happened, I just try to tell everybody, like, hey, we got together, you know, we figured some things out. We talked about things we needed to talk about and obviously got better from it. And that's what you want in a team early in the season. So you want us to, you know, just try to figure each other out and just be the best we can be each and every day. Obviously, it's not going to be pretty at all times, but at the end of the day, we're obviously just trying to get better and learn from everything.
Last night on the telecast, Derek Harper was talking about Desmond Bane, a local kid who went to TCU, great player from Memphis, and he was saying how bad he wanted to be a Dallas Maverick. It didn't work out in the draft, but, I mean, he was wanting to be a Maverick so bad. You, local guy, get traded to the Mavs. We see how good of a player you are, how much you wanted to be on this team. What is it about growing up maybe in this Metroplex that makes you want to be a Dallas Maverick so bad?
You know, Dallas is a special place. I mean, for me, it was always special. When I first got here, I loved it. I loved every bit of it. I mean, you can do everything here pretty much. The fans, the people, the city is great. I mean, they embrace the organizations here. They love everybody. So it's just a loving city, and I obviously wanted to get back one day, and I'm just so lucky and proud to be a Maverick now.
Sometimes if the Metroplex teams don't win, people get upset at the owner and the general manager. Do you have any thoughts about how we can fix the Cowboys?
Honestly, I mean, I'm not going to speak on it. I mean, they're going through their hardships right now. Those guys are talented. They're there for a reason. And I mean, they're great players. At the end of the day, they just have to find a camaraderie, find a something that makes them going, something that keeps them going. So I'm pulling for them. Hopefully they do. And when they do, everybody will be happy.
Is there a sport you gravitate to or you feel like NBA players gravitate to more than any other? Because obviously we see famous people at y'all's game. We see Mavericks at other games. What do you gravitate to outside of when it's basketball time?
Me personally, I love boxing. So I think just growing up, my dad had a great influence on me in boxing. And we used to watch a bunch of different fights. So for me, that's what I do in my off time. I watch a lot of boxing events, a lot of fights, everything. So that's my go-to sport outside of basketball.
Then was that kind of a natural, like, relationship with you and Najee? Because I know growing up, his dad was a boxer.
No, I had no idea. I literally just figured that out once you told me.
Look what I just did.
Boom.
I just made friendships better.
All right. Wow, that's crazy. Definitely got to ask him about that.
One more boxing question, and if you answer yes, we'll ask Jerry Jones about this on Friday. I realize a lot of people don't like it, but the biggest money matchup you could conceivably make right now, whether it's a foolish fight or not, is Canelo Alvarez against Jake Paul, and that would probably happen at AT&T Stadium. What are your thoughts about that?
That would be a crazy event. They would make tons of money. Obviously, everybody would want to go. I would go for sure. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think it would be great for Dallas, great for boxing, and obviously great for entertainment as well.
As long as the Netflix stream works, everybody would be very entertained. Yeah,
well, he just said he's going to be there, so who cares?
Yeah, I'm not worried about that, but everybody else, yeah, for sure.
Now, last year when you got here, PJ, you know, again, it was exciting for us because we were like, man, this guy, we love watching him play. But it was kind of a whirlwind. You get here and all of a sudden the team takes off, then you're off to the NBA Finals. How did your focus change this year and making it through 82 and kind of seeing, okay, this is what we have to accomplish throughout this season?
Well, I mean, obviously, last year left a bad taste in our mouth. Everybody had a chip on their shoulder. Me personally, I just wanted to get stronger, wanted to take every day serious just to obviously get back to those moments. So just been working hard this whole summer and just trying to take it day by day, obviously, taking care of my body, doing all the things I need to do to be successful. So obviously, I think just being here and being a Mav, it took my career to new heights, and I'm just trying to take advantage of every little thing.
The other thing, too, we were talking with Devin Harris last week, and he was just talking about, you know, the ball having energy and how important it is for it to be moving around from hand to hand whenever the ball's like that, it's not stagnant in one player's hand on the court. Does it make it more? How different does that game become for a team?
It brings so much. It brings so much to your offense. It makes the defense not know who to guard. We have so many great players that can score, that can pass, that can create for each other. So at the end of the day, when we're moving the ball and playing and flowing on offense, it's beautiful to see. And there's no team in the NBA that can stop us on that end.
You talked a lot last week about helping out with the rebounding. I'm curious, not only just you, like, I got more rebounds. I get that. But how else do you feel like you can help the team rebounding, even if you're not the guy grabbing the board?
Just boxing out, being physical, just putting a shot goes up, making sure that any person that's not on my team running to the rim, they either get hit or pushed to the ground or something like that. Just trying to bring physicality for my teammates and just be the physical enforcer out there at times.
So my son is a 16-year-old watching the game last night, and he's loved basketball for a long time. He loves basketball shoes and how many different colors there are and styles and everything. And there's not as many in baseball. I was explaining to him because basketball shoes sell like 5 times more, maybe even 10 times more than baseball right. shoes, because you can wear them yeah. to school and different things. I'm not saying name your shoe, but who do you think has maybe the most stylish shoe in the NBA right now, and what's the color scheme of that shoe you like the most?
In my opinion, I think it will always be Kobe's. I mean, you can never go wrong with them. I have a new pair that I'm not bringing out anytime soon, but when you guys do see it, it's going to be great. I mean, everybody has them right now, but I'm waiting to release mine a lot later. But, yeah, Kobe's for sure, and any colorway with any Kobe looks great. So,
which one do you like better, the Grinch or the reverse Grinch?
Grinch. I like the Grinch, yeah.
All right.
Those sold out in like 5 seconds when they just made them football shoes yeah. last week.
I know. And everybody's wearing them too.
What's the best version of the Grinch? Is it the Jim Carrey one, the cartoon, or the new cartoon?
The Jim Carrey.
Fascinating.
I agree.
To be able to get in a suit
yeah.
like that.
OG Grinch.
Yeah. Hey, are you Christmas shopping already? How's this plan go, like, for the kids and everything?
It's been great, you know. The wife's been handling that, making sure the kids get everything they need, and I'm just helping every now and then. But at the end of the day, my wife does a great job of keeping the house and making it a home. So credit to her and credit to all the good wives out there.
Yeah, and then I take credit for what my wife bought is what I usually Ooh. Do. I'm like, yeah, I picked that one out. Yeah.
Let me ask you a follow-up gift-giving question, because I've worked this out with my wife a couple of times. We've kind of gone through essentially arbitration, where I've bought her out of gifts by getting her a really big gift. Like this year, she wanted a new couch and a new love seat, and then you could just buy mm-hmm. the one big gift and then be done with it. Do you think that's a good way to go?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great way to go, but you know how women are. and it's never enough. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's always about keeping your wife happy and making sure as long as she's happy, everything is great. So,
well, she might you know be listening, so I have no idea what you're getting at right there.
Anything to make her happy. That's how you keep a relationship rocking. He's right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, good sir. Congrats on the win last night. Appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you guys in the quarterfinals.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
There you go. PJ Washington right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Did his Kentucky Wildcats lose last night?
I
was watching.
They did. That was, I believe that was their first loss of the season. I wanted to throw this out there super quick just to show you how different it is. So as of right now, the Mavericks are going to play the Oklahoma City Thunder on Tuesday in the NBA Cup quarterfinals. By the way, in the meantime, they still have a couple of other games. But if you just want to look at that, that's going to be on Tuesday the 10th. Originally, on Tuesday the 10th, they were going to play the Bulls. Then 2 days later, they were going to play the Thunder. So this is actually super convenient. And then they also had games on the 14th, 16th, 17th, and 19th. As of right now, they don't have that game on the 14th, 16th, or 17th because you have to wait to see. If they get bounced from the NBA Cup, obviously you'll figure out a way to get those games back on the schedule because they have a 9-day gap. But they leave that open in case they make the semifinals and then obviously then the finals, because I believe both of those games are in Vegas. At least the final is in Vegas.
If they win it all, Mike, are you going to get a shirt like to commemorate?
Honestly, yes. I just want, I want one of those. I want to. I think this is a little.
So
bit
you're
silly
in on it now.
But yeah, at this point, I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to watch on December 10th. Do you guys actually try harder in this game than they would 2 days later if it was? Because Oklahoma City and Dallas are fighting for a lot in the Western Conference this year. So.
And you just heard PJ say, for the guys that don't make as much money, exactly, you're fighting for that too.
Yeah.
So that actually makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, is Dak's belief in McCarthy enough to save the coach's job? Next on The Fan.